Moncrief
on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Now, like it or not, but the construction of Trump Tower in New York is still one of the central achievements of Donald Trump, the businessman. The building was completed in 1984, and very unusually for the time, the engineer overseeing the project was a woman. Her name is Barbara Ress, author of All Alone on the 68th Floor. Barbara, good afternoon to you.
Hi, how are you?
What were the circumstances in which you first met Donald Trump? You'd be working previously on a Hyatt project that he'd also been involved in.
Yes, I was working for the general contractor who built the Grand Hyatt Hotel on 42nd Street in New York. I was doing a lot of things for them. I was an assistant project manager, a superintendent, a mechanical superintendent. But I met Donald, as everyone did, you know, because he was on the project once in a while. He walked through the project maybe every week or a couple of times a week. But he would come to the job meetings. And for some reason, even though I wasn't the top project manager, I was invited to the job meetings, and I used to attend them. And my appearances there and the questioning and everything that I did seemed to impress Donald. And we got together, and he eventually hired me to do Trump Tower.
And also, I assume you were a rarity for those days. Was it more difficult being a woman working in construction in those days?
Yes, it was. It was a nightmare. I'm not sure how I found my way into it. Well, I am sure. I had an engineering degree in electrical engineering, but the year I graduated, there were really no jobs for engineers. It was a very terrible time for engineers, 1972. And so I took a job. I had been working for a contractor. My sister, who worked for a general contractor, knew electrical contractors and got me a summer job with them. So I ended up going back and working for them full time. And I worked for them full time for a while, and then I worked for another electrical contractor for a while. And then I went to work for this general contractor where I was working on City Cross Center, and then I went to the Hyatt, and that's where I met Donald.
And I suppose people naturally assume Donald Trump, a complete sexist pig, he would never hire a woman. But that's your story, and the story of several other women that he worked with at that time, at least, seems completely contradictory to that.
Well, it's kind of funny. Donald is, in a way, he's sexist, obviously, the things that he says and the way he carries on and stuff. And in another way, he promotes women. And I think the reason for that, at least when I was there, because he's very much changed over the years. He used to surround himself with the very best people. And he thought I was the very best, and I'd like to think I was too, and that's why he hired me. And when he hired me, he said, you know, men are better than women. I don't know if he meant it in this business or he meant it in general, but he said, a good woman is better than 10 good men. That's what he said to me. Mm. And he told me he thought I was a killer, and I would do a great job for him. And at the time, he had another woman working for him, too, Louise Sunshine, who was also a killer, much more of a killer than I ever was. A very strong woman, and he liked strong, opinionated women. He was married to one, and he gave Ivana Trump a lot of authority. You know, she got involved with the construction and especially the design elements of it, and he gave her a lot of authority, too. So, you know, I wrote a piece for Huffington Post, the four women who built Trump Tower or whatever, or led Trump Tower, I forget. And it was Ivana, Louise, myself, and another woman named Joan Siegel, who did all the retail leasing for us. Mm. And we were all very strong, opinionated women, and he liked us back then.
Yeah.
But he liked strong, opinionated men, too. And he listened to people. He listened to the architect. He listened to the contractor. I mean, you know, we fought him, and he needed to be massaged and everything, and tremendous ego even back then. But he would do the right thing. Now I don't think he listens. I mean, you know, I worked for him over time, and I saw him change over time and hire a lot of people that I would call yes men or sycophants. And that's what he seems to be surrounding himself with now. I don't think anyone really challenges him.
When you were working on Trump Tower as well, you did have dealings with his father. Was his father as pleasant to deal with in the sense of dealing with a female engineer?
No, he was a nightmare. He hated the idea that Donald hired me. He couldn't understand how a woman could possibly be in charge of a big project like that. And they paid me well. And as a matter of fact, Fred Trump had a business in Brooklyn that he ran, that he had a tremendous amount of housing, some retail in Brooklyn and also in Queens. And the top paid person in that outfit, I was making as much as a matter of fact, Donald offered me more than that, and the way we got around it was we gave me so much money in salary and so much money in expenses so that Fred Trump wouldn't know that I was making more than his top person. he hated it. He was so nasty to me. He was a very nasty man to begin with, but he was terribly nasty to me.
Yeah.
And I ran into him at Donald's second wedding to Marla Maples. And he actually sort of apologized to me. He said, you know I gave you a very hard time, but you were really very good. So, for what it's worth.
Yeah, and did you mention it to Donald that the father was so unpleasant to you?
That his father? Yeah, I did. I complained about his father, and he told me just, you know, suck it up, so to speak. You know, his father was a little unpleasant to him at times, too. And it was just a matter of, you know, he's going to get uninvolved. He's not going to be involved in the project. He's involved in the concrete. Just put up with him and we'll phase him out and that'll be it. And I knew that at the time, you know, Trump respected his father and loved him, he seemed to, tremendously. But he was waning, as it were. And he also was out of his league. This was New York City. This was the big time. You know, he wanted to bring in his own contractor. And he wanted to use a contract that he had used like 30 years earlier. And he kept pushing that contract. I mean, he drove me crazy with it. And, you know, we had a contract that was worked on by the lawyers that was a much stronger contract that was appropriate to the time. But Fred was, he was a piece of work. It was very difficult to deal with.
So the Trump Tower was completed around 1984. Was that the end of your working for Donald Trump, or did you go back to work for him again?
I left him in 84, and the fall, I think, of 84, and I went back to work for him in the early, the late spring of 1987.
Did you notice any change then in that intervening period?
Yeah, he did. He had changed because he now was relatively well known. He had, built Trump Tower, and that was such a phenomenal building. It was so well received and it was so popular, and we got unheard of rentals for the retail spaces and totally unheard of prices for the condominiums. So he was known for that, and he also had done one and a half of his casinos. So he was, getting very, he was very well known. I mean, you know, he had a bodyguard. We used to walk to meetings together in the street. Now he never went anywhere without a bodyguard. It was different. He was very full of himself. He was still nice to me, but it was different. We were extremely close on Trump Tower. But on after that, it was a different situation. He was really, you know, much higher, more into the separation between the boss and the rest of the people.
Yeah, and did you get the sense that from what you're saying, at least, I'm getting, is that he seemed far more interested in being a celebrity at that stage?
You know, so it started to, he liked the idea of being celebrity. He wrote a book with Tony Schwartz. I mean, Tony wrote it, but it was about Donald's life history at the time. And we had a book open, when the book is first released, I guess, a release party at Trump Tower. And there must have been like 3,000 people at that. Mm. And I remember him walking around with a guy named Don King. I don't know if you know this guy.
Yeah, the boxing promoter,
Right. And he was walking up and down, just, you know, like prancing with Don King around Trump Tower. It was funny. He was very, very happy being a celebrity. He craved that. He enjoyed it tremendously. And it just went on from there. I mean, you know.
And Tony Schwartz has written since then that after that launch, that Trump sent him half the bill even though Tony Schwartz didn't ask for that particular book launch at all. They had a bit of a falling out over that one. Now, you also, even though, you know, you worked with him and he was very fair to you for a lot of the time you worked for him, Barbara, you did go on the Women's March around the time of his election.
Absolutely.
Yeah, do you think he's not fit to be a president?
I came out against him in the beginning of his candidacy. What happened was when he announced that he was going to run, very shortly after, he said he was going to be great for women because women, because he promoted a woman. He made a woman the head of his construction of Trump Tower, and he's bragging about this, and, you know, it was never done before, and she was the brightest and whatever, and she was the best, and so, you know, naturally, he never said my name, but naturally, any good reporter is going to find that out in a minute. So they started calling me the Times and the Daily News and stuff. And, you know, I could have backed out of it. I could have said, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to talk, which a lot of people did, but because they have non-disclosure agreements, that kind of thing. Our confidentiality agreements. I didn't because, you know, I left involuntarily, so there was no payoff or anything. But I decided that I would talk. I had a book that I was at the time trying to promote, and I thought that might be helpful. And I did, you know, say what the truth was, the good and the bad about Donald Trump, and the fact that I didn't really think he was qualified at all to be president. But I, you know, I don't think that's saying something bad about the man. I worked for many people, the biggest developers in New York. None of them were qualified to be president.
Mm.
You don't just be smart or be good at something and then walk into the presidency. Even Ronald Reagan, who, you know, I personally am not a fan of, who I think was very unqualified to be president, was the governor of a state, big state, California, for 8 years before he worked for president. So I was interviewed by the Times, and they asked me some questions, and they wrote a slanted article, and they sort of slanted what I said as well, and that got Donald very upset, and he had someone call me, and there were threats back and forth, and, you know, I laid low for a while, and then I decided we can't have him as president. I got to do everything in my power as a citizen who loves this country, and I love my country, to stop him from being president. I did. I came out against him, and he got wind of that, and he excoriated me. He was at a press conference talking about me for like 5 minutes. I mean, you know, the idea is preposterous. And he said I'm dangerous, and I'm no good, and don't hire me, and stuff like that. It was horrible, really.
Yeah.
But you know, I continued to oppose him, and, you know, I said in my book that he was the least sexist boss I had when it came to certain things, and I qualified it when it came to treating me the same way he treated the men, and he did. He treated me exactly like he treated the men. I got no special favors. He cursed me out, but he respected me.
Mm.
I did not know at the time I wrote that line in my book that he was the sexist that he was, because I didn't see it. I mean, towards the end, I heard him say some awful things about women and to women, and I chalked it up to the fact that he was going through a horrible financial crisis. But later, when he started doing the stuff on Howard Stern's show, and, of course, the Billy Bush thing, which nobody knew about, I would never, ever have made that statement. I would never have said he was the least sexist boss I ever had when it comes to, even though it was true. I would not have made that statement.
Yeah. And during the time you were, I mean, part of the criticism aimed against him is that people say he's temperamentally not fit to be a president. Other people go further than that and say perhaps he has various psychological issues. I assume you got to know him a bit as a human being. Or did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, absolutely.
And so,
I mean,
you know,
to the extent that he was a human being. I mean, you know, it's funny about the rich people are a brand of their own. There's no question about that. And they are different from everybody else. And anyone that knows a super rich person is going to say that. That they can be very nice. They can be very forthcoming. But you can see the way they treat the helper. It's just a certain thing about them. And he had that in spades. But we were very close. And even when I was working for him the second time. Something happened that was really not good, and he had a heart-to-heart talk with me, and he said, you know, don't get depressed. I know I always get depressed when things like this happen. And it was really nice. He was very kind to me, very human. But he did absolutely fly off the handle. He didn't have good control of his emotions. He was a megalomaniac. I mean, you know, the way he talked, and you can see it now, everything was the best of the worst. And he used people to, you know, sort of feather his cap. So one of the things he always said, he had the best people working for him. And he promoted his people as being the best people, even though sometimes they weren't, specifically now.
Yeah.
He talks about having the best people, and he has, in some cases, the absolute worst people.
Did he have any friends?
But,
did he have anyone in his life who would say, Donald, stop talking crap?
Yes, he had one person, actually, that came into the office once in a while that we saw that he said was his friend. And I can't remember his name, but I used to feel sorry for Donald in that, and this is true of celebrities and rich people in general, but especially true of Donald. You know, everyone that he was associated with wanted something from him. And even his really good friend, who's dead now, his name is Jerry Schrager. He was an attorney, and he did all Donald's deals for him. But he was living off of Donald, you know?
Yeah.
And many of his friends were like that, living off of Donald and his fame and his fortune and, you know, his work. So I felt sorry for him in that, you know, he probably doesn't have any real close friends, but he did have this one guy whose name I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably, perhaps a lonely man we're talking about. Barbara, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Barbara Rez there. The book that she mentioned there is called All Alone on the 68th Floor, How One Woman Changed the Face of Construction. Surely if Trump gave Ivana a lot of authority, shows that he and your guest thought it was his to give, those who believe women are equal are not. Thus patronizing. Well, I suppose he was like the owner of the company and blah, blah, blah. But he did have, including Ivana, he had a number of women, including Barbara, who we were just talking to. And for those days, I mean, Barbara was pretty much the only woman of her type, to coin a phrase, in that time in New York. And must have been difficult.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.